we're here to rob your faves and be biased judges and maybe give them negative 5 GOE along the way. Whoa! Let's introduce this week's hosts.
Boo! Hi, I'm Gina. I'm getting into the spooky ways of the Grand Prix series before I yeet to International de France to witness the terror of French event planning firsthand. You can catch me on Twitter at 4atwizzles.
Hey guys, I'm Carly, and I was there to witness the chaos of Skate America Live. You can find me on Twitter at CyberSwanSP.
And I'm Sam. I'm still just reveling in the fever dream that was Skate Canada 2019. You can follow me at Quadlutz with an E for Edgecall. Welcome to In the Loop's Grand Prix series coverage, starting with Skate America and Skate Canada 2019. We're going to start with pairs. At Skate America, the gold medal went to Cheng Peng and Yang Jin from China. Second was Daria Pavlichenko and Denis Kodakin from Russia. Third was Haven Denny and Brendan Fraser of the United States. And at Skate Canada, gold went to Alexandra Bokova and Dmitry Kolovsky from Russia. Kristen Moore-Towers and Michael Marinaro got second, and Evgenia Tarasova and Vladimir Morozov got third.
Yay for Peng and Jin's first Grand Prix win!
Yes, finally.
I know. Kind of a general theme across the past season and a half or so, Peng and Jin have really had a rise in both scores and in general just attention paid to them. So, like, they got silver at both their Grand Prix last year and got silver at the final. And so now it's really nice to see them win for once.
Yeah, they've really developed over the past few seasons. And, like, you can see that in their performance skills, their skating skills, their synchronicity. Everything just gets better and better for them. And it's really nice to see those results on the ice. They've always been a pair I really enjoy watching for, like, their charisma and their charm. And I think they've been getting attention for that because they are just quite fun to watch. But now they're getting that finesse as well.
Yeah, their free skate this year is so impressive as a vehicle. It's the perfectly structured pairs program with, like, the ending throw Sal, where she's elongating out towards him into their final two lifts as the music's building, and it really enhances everything. But even, like, to start, the acrobatic choreographed lift they do to start the program is immediately eye-drying and great to see. And like you said, their skating skills are great. Their synchronicity is so much better than it was even just the Olympic season. And they're super fun to watch. They are going to need to upgrade the double sals back into triple sals. They did do triple sals at Worlds. It was under-rotated, unfortunately, which would have made a huge difference in their placements because they were only about 2 points behind Zabiako and Embert for third. So if they can get that, and if Peng can rotate them.
We just want people to rotate their sals.
Rotate your sal and land it cleanly. They could seriously be a mainstay challenger for top medals.
Yeah, considering they got fourth at Worlds with that under rotation. So I think they're pretty good if they can get it.
Yeah, and like for right now, it's fine. Like there's something to be said for skating cleanly and maxing out your GOE on your solid elements, which for them are their throws and their lifts. Their death spiral is pretty good too. As long as you get the levels on that, but that's always finicky. Like, I think probably Kristen Moore-Towers probably has the best death spiral in pairs right now. And, like, but even then, like, not, you don't always get your levels. It's a super finicky element. But yeah, like, it should be good. I'm expecting that they'll make the Grand Prix final and we'll get to see them there.
Yeah, also just shout out to Cheng Peng, because Yang Jin said that after their first throw loop, she twisted her ankle. And she looked fine. She just got right back up and was like, I'm finishing this program.
Yeah, they went right into their death spiral, like, immediately after that. And, like, you could kind of see that she was kind of, like, testing it and, like, grimacing a little bit to make sure it was okay, but it didn't affect the rest of the program at all.
Just pairs ladies are just, like, respect out the roof.
Yeah, they're just like, I've done this, I've practiced, I'm getting this done.
Yeah, sorry for the swearing, but they're the most badass people in figure skating.
Yeah, can we just shout out to, at Skate America was Zoe Jones, who's, I don't know how old she is, but she has 3 kids.
I know she competed with Tara Lipinski, so this is how far back we're going, guys.
She was supposed to compete at the 98 Olympics. Like, my respect is mad. Moving on to Denny and Fraser. Their Lion King program bopped. Like, it started out and I was like, I wasn't sure it was Lion King. And then the end started with the end music of the movie and I was like, oh my god, this is Lion King.
Yeah, this is a repeat program. They did it the 2014-2015 season 2, and back then it was just as incredible. It's kind of, like, the perfect program for them because it really capitalizes on what their strengths are, which are their lifts, which are, like, some of the best in the entire world. They're so strong. Their twist is really good, too. Like, you can give it a plus 4 easily. But, like, most importantly, Haven Denny landed a triple sal. For those who do not know, she had a pretty horrific knee surgery slash injury right before the 2016-2017 season, and it was really in doubt if she would ever be able to skate again. And, like, getting her jumps back has been so difficult for her. Like, generally could barely do a double axel even. So to see her land both of their side-by-sides is, like, insane. The sweeping entrance to their pair swim where he, like, grabs her leg and, like, swings her down and around and then, like, back up right into the spin as the music is shifting tempo is, like, amazing. I can't say anything enough about it. Of, like, it's incredible. Their one criticism still is and always will be that they don't have a ton of chemistry and they're not really paying attention to each other on the ice, despite the fact that they do have great synchronicity with each other and they are a very well-matched team. And then with their throws, they have the tendency to go up and thud down, so she can't land, like, down and in with her edge. She's just landing flat, so she doesn't get a running edge out that's super nice, and she's kind of thunking down and, like, leaning forward. But then other than that, like, this has made things interesting for U.S. pairs because they're all kind of all around the same level. It's always kind of anyone's game, but and they were out of it last year. It was kind of just a Kinnearums and Kanan LeDuc battle. But if Denny and Frazier can perform anything like this, like, they have as much of a shot to win gold as the Kinnearums or Kanan LeDuc do.
Yeah. As, like, after Kanan LeDuc's free skate, I was like, oh, this could shake things up on the U.S. pair scene because, like you said, they're all kind of at a similar level. So Nationals just kind of, like, last year it was a bloodbath to see who would be at Worlds because they only had that one spot. Since Kanan LeDuc finished in the top 10, do they have two spots now?
I'm pretty sure they do. Because the difference was between this and what happened the Olympic season is that they couldn't get the second spot because there are only so many skaters that can go to the Olympics. Where with Worlds, if you're a member country, you have a spot. So there's no, like, worry about, like, who's earning multiple spots first. So they should have two.
So then this Nationals should be a little less of that kind of bloodbath, but watching it at Nationals, it was intense.
Yeah, I mean, it's still going to be tense because there are, like, more than three teams who could potentially make it. And you have to factor in Tara Kane and Danny O'Shea, too. Even though they didn't have the best skate at U.S. Classic for their first performance of the season, they have medaled on the Grand Prix before. They won 4 continents the Olympic season, so you can't necessarily count them out either. But so far, Kane and LeDuc, the Kinnearums, and Haven and Brendan look the best right now. But I also want to give another shout-out to Jessica Kaling and Brian Johnson, who have an outside chance at either pewter or bronze at Nationals, because they're super impressive for a team that's only been together for 2 seasons. They have really solid elements. They have the same problem with their throws, where they're just going up and thudding down and not elongating out. But that said, they're a super fast team. Their twist is really great. The Light of the Seven short program is really well done, even though I think Light of the Seven is better suited for a free skate, in particular for pairs, because it has, like, the perfect opportunity to be, like, dark and foreboding in the beginning and, like, while you're doing your side-by-side jumps, which are always the most nerve-wracking, and then opening up for the lifts at the end as the music is building. But the short program, still, the elements were really well placed, putting the step sequence on the build-up part where it starts getting more intense and works fine. But yeah, if they could put it together, and, like, they both had issues with their side-by-sides at Skate America and at Skate Canada, but if they ever put it all together, they have as much as chance to podium as the other 4-ish teams. U.S. pairs doesn't get enough credit for how deep they are because, like, they're not challenging for medals. They're not, like, serious outside chances at, like, making top threes in deep fields. But they're all close and clustered together with the same abilities and the same potential scoring-wise. So it's always, like, watching Nationals is actually pretty interesting. But then I also want to move on really quickly to Alexandra Boykova and Dmitry Kolovsky, because Sasha Boykova is my daughter. I love her to pieces.
She's the best.
She's the cutest thing in the entire world. She has the most gorgeous free leg of anybody.
She really does.
Like, it just kicks out, and, like, she holds that edge for as long as she possibly can with great speed. Like, I love her to pieces. There's side-by-side triple sals coming out of Spread Eagles. Are you kidding me? Like, they did them in a gala.
I know, I saw that. I was like, what pair team does their side-by-sides in a gala?
Yeah, they did their twist, too, in spotlights. They did a twist in spotlights. What's going on here? But, like, I would, like, suggest that, like, if you're at all interested in pairs or just, like, listening to skater interviews, to check out the ISU interview on their YouTube page that they just did. Because, one, their English is phenomenal. But, two, like, they're really assured in themselves. They know exactly what they have to improve on. They know exactly what they have to do to be able to, like, push forward and, like, really be a challenger for top three places at Worlds and Grand Prix Finals. And I just love them. I could watch them all day. I mean, the programs are a little bit boring. The James Bond program kind of meanders on because it's the same music over and over again, repeating the same theme, which isn't all that fun to listen to. But they're elements, man. Like, those I could watch all day.
Yeah, like, the ISU tweeted, like, a video of their throw triple flip from the short program, and I watched it, like, 10 times in a row.
Yeah.
Like, it's just that free leg. You can't get enough of it. It's perfect.
It's so beautiful.
The extension, the toe point, everything. Ugh.
Okay, so let's talk about the outlook for the rest of the Grand Prix series and the final. So, Peng and Jin, with them winning their first Grand Prix gold, they really make a case for the final again. And with their next assignment being Cup of China, their only real competition there is going to be Sui and Han. So it's quite likely that they will make the final.
A first and a second would send them straight to the final. They're likely to get silver there because, please, Sui and Han, be healthy.
So Pavlyuchenko and Kotkin's next assignment is International de France, so I'll be seeing them. Their main competition will be the new Russian seniors, Mashina and Galiamov, who are the 2019 World Junior Champions. After seeing them win Finlandia, it would be nice to see how they do at International de France.
Yeah, they're a team that relies super heavily on the fact that their elements are kind of insane. Like, they do all triples, like, high-level triples for their side-by-sides, and they're pretty consistent. Their one, like, drawback is that they are still pretty juniorish. Badass, but a little juniorish. I think they're recycling their free skate.
Party like a Russian.
No, that was their short program.
Ah,
their free skate was the, like, super heavy circus music.
Oh, man.
Do you remember that one? Yeah, if you're at all curious how we feel about that program, there are plenty of junior episodes where we had to talk about it. But yeah, but they're a team that relies on their technical score to kind of, like, outpace everybody else. But
so, like, every other Russian junior. They also won their Challenger Series with 210.18, which means that they're quite likely to score over Pavlyuchenko and Kotkin, but based off their score for Skate America, which was 196.98.
To be fair, Pavlyuchenko and Kotkin weren't clean at Skate America, but Mishina and Galiamov are regularly clean, so if you're playing a get bet of, like, who's actually going to skate better, your money would probably be on Mashina and Galiamov.
Although I will say that I'm pretty sure that if Pavlyuchenko and Kotkin got silver, they would still go to the final. I'm not really that confident on, like, how places work out, but two silvers would be a good case.
Yeah, two silvers could do it.
I could see that happening because with pairs, it's not as, like, as much of a bloodbath sometimes as some of the other events. Like, a bronze and a silver can make it.
Surprising me, and maybe other people, Tarasova and Morozov did not win Skate Canada. They had some mistakes in both the short and the free, and it led to a bronze finish for them. So, Tarasova and Morozov's next assignment is Rostelecom, Cup of Russia, and they're up against Boykova and Kozlovsky again. If they're clean, I think they can definitely challenge Boykova and Kozlovsky for the top spot.
If they're clean, they'll beat Boykova and Kozlovsky at this point, just because of PCS. Tarasova and Morozov with the clean short program is going to go over 80, where Boykova and Kozlovsky are still in the 76-75 range. So that gap alone, like, they should win on PCS. And Tarasova and Morozov, I would say, still have the better elements at this point. Like, a Tarasova and Morozov throw landed perfectly is, like, given to you from the gods. That's so big. then great. Again, another running edge that's just absolutely pure and beautiful. Their issue right now is their side-by-sides mostly. It's kind of weird. Like, at Russian test skates, they seemed fine. Like, everything was going great. Like, they were solid. And then they go to U.S. Classics, which I gave them a pass for because skating at altitude, specifically pair skating at altitude early season, is never fun. But it was interesting. I'm not super worried for them. Like, I'd still expect them to make the final. But they're going to have to, like, get themselves in gear. Marina, get on it. Help them out.
Matthäus and Mariana got silver at Skate Canada, but they're probably not super likely to get to go based on their next assignment, which is NHK. They're up against Sui and Han and a couple of Russian pairs, as well as Della Monica and Gurise.
Looking at it, I would think bronze would be in the picture with them, not looking at all of the entries, just because their PCS has been steadily rising since the Olympic season. They almost beat Sui and Han at Four Continents last year. Granted, Sui and Han, it was their first competition back, and they had fully admitted that they hadn't really run through their free skate yet. But for them, it's super important that they continue to be clean to clean-ish, because their PCS mark and their GOE would obviously start rising a little bit more. But yeah, being the first place Canadian pairs now has certainly helped their scores, so it's possible.
All right, moving on to men.
Okay, men. So for the men at Skate America, we had Nathan Chen from USA taking gold, Jason Brown from USA in silver, and Dmitry Aliev from Russia in bronze. At Skate Canada, we had Yuzuru Hanyu from Japan in gold, Nam Nguyen from Canada in silver, and Keiji Tanaka from Japan in bronze.
So, Skate America was Jop Central, ladies.
Oh, Jesus.
I love this joke, I don't care.
Would you like to sing it for us, Car?
Cause when we jump in and pop in, we drop in. Boom, 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 jump step.
Thank you, it was beautiful.
So, jopping is the phenomenon, if you're unfamiliar with K-pop supergroup Super M, their hit song Jopping talks about when you jump and pop at the same time. And it's very appropriate for figure skating. So, Skate America was Jop Central. There were significantly less jops at Skate Canada, which was quite disappointing, I might say.
Especially when you consider the greatest pop star of all time, Keiji Tanaka, was there.
I know, right? He didn't jop at all.
He did. He did jop.
He popped his quad sal into a triple sal in the short and his quad toe into a double toe in the free.
But yeah, he jops so well, he gets positive GOE on them.
A master jopper, you might say.
But yeah, for what Skate Canada lacked in jopping, they made up for in level 2 step sequences. In the men and the ladies.
Okay, yeah, I did not see nary a step sequence for.
I know for a fact Yuzuru got one in the free skate because I was looking for it, because he never gets it. So I was like, oh, there's no way in hell he's going to get it with this collar. And then he did, and I lost my mind.
Time for my annual going off on Nathan. I find his short program this year, in particular, his worst in a long time. The relationship between the movement that he's doing and the music is so distant.
The biggest problem with that program is that, sorry to call you out, Shaylin, but she repeated a lot of choreographic elements from Nemesis and Caravan.
Yeah, she really did.
And they're very noticeable that they've been lifted from both of those programs.
Yeah, that really doesn't help at all. It's a huge step back from what we saw in Caravan last year, because like his short program last season I thought was an amazing step forward for him, because my difficulty in connecting with Nathan is that I really don't get much of a sense of character and personality from him when he skates. I think for his short program last season there was a lot more energy and life to it, and this short program that's completely just gone down the drain, which is a real shame. His free skate is not much better for me in that respect. When I think of an Elton John medley, I'm thinking of like Elton John in the big wigs and the huge glittery glasses and the really loud jackets on the piano going real nuts. And that is not the Elton John that I'm getting from this program. It's just so lacking life, apart from maybe the choreographic sequence. Yeah, it just bums me out, and it doesn't match the scores for me at all. For his skating skills, I would put him in the high eights, like 8.5, 8.75. I think that would be pretty fair.
I think on his best day, because he does consistently nail his step sequence, you could, and he's not slow, he has good speed, you could probably go a 9 on his best skates. I would say.
Yeah. I think the only thing that really holds him back for his skating skills, for me, is the knee bend. Also, the variety in steps. That is one of the criteria for skating skills, is a variety of steps and changes in direction and one-foot skating. And he does kind of lack that outside of the step sequence. And for me, that would hold him back a little bit.
Where I'm at with Nathan is that I understand why he made the choice he did for his free skate. Because he's at a place where, like, his confidence is his strength. And he has the opportunity to be a little bit more lackadaisical and free with it. His problem is that he's not a natural performer in the sense that he intrinsically understands music. Or that's something... It's something he automatically connects to. Like, he has musicality. He can hear music just fine. Like, he's never, like, super off of his music. But it's not somebody, like... I think Shoma Uno is the best at this, where Shoma intrinsically, maybe not emotionally understands music, but he knows exactly what he has to do with his body when he hears a piece of music, and he doesn't need to be choreographed to that music. This is a criticism I have with Rika Kihira, too, where she's not intrinsically a performer. She's somebody that's being choreographed to music, and she's listening to her, what her choreographer is telling her to do. Nathan's kind of the same way. He's on the music. He's doing everything he's supposed to be doing. Yes, he comes alive in that choreo sequence, but he's not somebody that's like, I know what's here. I can hear all of this. I know what I'm supposed to do. I don't need the choreographer to tell me.
Yeah, and I think that's what disappoints me with maybe the music cut.
It's two separate programs. You can tell where Marie France choreographed it and where Sam did.
Yeah.
Marie France did the opening half. With the arms and the, like, the more traditional body lines. And Sam did the hip-hop section. Like, they're two programs spliced together.
I think even the best performer would struggle with that because I don't think they go well together. I think he could also get some help just by the music cuts being better because he does have the ability in him. We saw it last season with Caravan.
We saw it when he was a junior.
Yeah, we saw it when he was a junior as well. And I think he does just need maybe... the right music choices and the right cuts in his music and the right connection to the program music to bring that out of him. Because even with Caravan, he was doing all of a difficult technical thing, which I think usually might distract him a little bit from the performance side of stuff. But he also seemed to just enjoy the music. And so he came alive under it. Whereas... again, for an Elton John medley program, the music cuts are really not helping him here.
The problem for me is it's going to be the choreo sequence with the remix part. Like, it just feels off, I guess.
It does.
Yeah.
I don't want to get too hard on him about it because he does like it, but it feels like he watched the movie and was like, hey, let's have a fun program, but then stripped all context from the movie. When he decided to use it, like, if he had just used, like, Elton John music and decided to have a fun program, the context wouldn't matter because it's the music. But because he chose the movie soundtrack and supposed had to have watched the movie to decide that he was going to use the movie soundtrack, it doesn't make me comfortable. Speaking of weird choices, Yuzuru Hanyu's short program at Skate Canada had some interesting GOE. His quad toe, triple toe.
Skate Canada was like... I'm gonna score you.
Yeah, they went pretty high with the GOEs there, with some judges giving him threes and twos. It was closer to a one or a zero, because what Yuzuru does with his combos, there's a difference between how you're doing a solo jump and a jump that's the start of a combo, because you have to tack on another jump to it, so you can't make it too big, otherwise you won't be able to do the next jump. So what he does is he crouches down and reaches back to be able to do his second jump on his combos, but sometimes it gets him in trouble because he'll land a little bit too crouched down and a little bit hunched over on his edge, so he's a little bit outside the circle when he goes back to pick in for the triple toe, and once he does that, he's up and he's to the side, not going up and back, so he'll land to his triple toes weird, and he did that here in the short program for his quad toe triple toes, but he saved it with a spread eagle, and I think people were like, well, it wasn't landed that badly because you could do a spread eagle out of it, when no.
It's like,
yeah, like it was... especially with the angle we had watching it on the stream, like, it was pretty obvious that there was something funky going on there. So to give that, like, threes and twos is a little bit much. Definitely closer to a one or a zero there. Yeah, he is supposed to do the spread eagle out of it. Like, that is his normal choreography there, but, like, dude, you're not doing that because you wanted to make it look nice. You're doing that so you don't land on your butt. But the, a similar thing happened with his triple axel combos in his free skate, where, like, the GOE was a little bit too high. Like, the triple axel triple toe wasn't that bad. Like, when you saw it from, like, the judge's perspective, I saw a fan cam of it, it wasn't nearly as bad as on stream. But he still is, like, just a little bit tight on both jumps, and, like, and they were giving him some fours, and it's probably a two. And then the triple axel double toe was, like, again, a one or a zero, or maybe even, like, a minus one. Like, it was just, it wasn't the best. I don't know what's going on with his triple axel combos, because his solo triple axel is fine, but whatever he's doing with the quad axel is really messing with his combos, where he's just consistently landing them tight and a little bit snowy. But shout out to Judge 4 from Australia, who had a major shift in how she perceives Yuzuru from the short program to the free skate. In the short program, she was the only person to give him a plus four on his solo triple axel, which everybody else gave him a plus five. And then she tried to give him straight nines in PCS, which is only about, like, 0.5 higher than the rest of the field, when everybody else was, like, at 9.5 to 9.75. And then, magically, in the free skate, she's given him a plus three on his opening quad loop, which, again, was not the best landed jump he's ever done, and was suddenly back up to 9.5s, 9.75s in PCS. Interesting choices there.
Do you think he, like, found her after the competition and was like, say it to my face?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, he's approaching 25 now. He's reaching that age where you just really stop caring, and I'm really here for
especially
it.
Especially since he doesn't expect a lot from Skate Canada scores. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
I mean, he's even admitted that. He's like, Skate Canada isn't a great competition for me. I'm really amazed that they gave me score.
Before we move on, huge shout out to Yuzuru's quad toe Euler triple flip, because it was beautiful. Like, there's a reason why, as Skating Scores pointed out, it is the highest combo or sequence ever recorded in the judging system as of now, because it was a thing of beauty.
It was gorgeous. Like, as soon as he landed it, I was like, oh my god, he did it.
Yeah, and, like, he never particularly got high GOE on his sequences. So, like, it's really nice to see one finally get, like, super high GOE. Even when he was doing the triple axel Euler triple styles, like, that was never, like, he would get really good GOE on it, but it wasn't one of his elements where he was getting plus threes. So to see him get, like, fours and fives for that, it's, like, awesome.
Okay, moving on to, we have a lot of favorites from the men's events, and here are some of them. Go off about Jason Brown, as he deserves.
Jason Brown! Jason Brown, his free skate is beautiful. It's really thoughtful, it's tasteful. Jason has the skill and maturity to take music like Schindler's List and skate it to the gravitas that it requires. And that's all I could think the whole free skate was, I'm so glad it's Jason skating this and not someone else.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to highlight the short program, because while the, like you said, the free program is lovely, I still associate Schindler's List with Joshua Ferris. If you have not seen that program, like I say all the time when I bring up Josh, please go watch it. Specifically the Nats version of it. It's gorgeous. But with his short program, the triple flip is still out of this world. I prefer the placement and the importance of the Love is a Bitch flip still a little bit more, because that was just, like, in your face, like, this is the most gorgeous jump you've ever seen, give me plus five. But I appreciate that he's changing his patterns, because not everybody does that. A lot of people keep their layouts and their patterns exactly the same program to program. I appreciate the variety of changing how he's entering jumps and where he's putting it on the rink. But also shout out to Roheen, because he just intrinsically understands Jason's movement style with things like putting the Russian split into the fan spiral along the boards right at the end of the program. Like, just, I want him to work with Roheen again so much. I hope he continues to use him for short programs, because the short programs Roheen has done for him over the years have been incredible. Like, the Question of You program was great. Obviously, Love is a Bitch last year. Like, this program's really good. They're great programs, especially when they're, like, more modern.
I agree. He does really well with that style and Roheen choreographing it.
And we want to do a quick shout out to Keegan Messing, because he has had such a rough time, and he still came to Skate America and he did his best, and he deserves better.
His short program is, like, awesome. Like, watching it for the first time at Autumn Classic, like, I've never been that attached to his programs. But, like, as soon as I saw his short program to Perfect, I was, like, and I knew the story behind it. It was his first dance at his wedding with his, over the summer. I was just, like, crying. I was, like, the fact that he just, like, dedicated a program to her. It's just really good. He has a good set of programs this season.
It's hard not to be romantic about it, especially the Skate America version, because that was the first time his wife had been there in person to see it.
Next on our list of shoutouts is Dennis Vasiliev's. I am legally obligated to hype him up. He went clean in the short program, which he did not do at Miss Challenger. And he finished 5th overall, which was super exciting for me, because he doesn't have a quad. But I just really love his short program. He performs it well, and I love how it builds. And honestly, it's a great short program. Sam, go off about it.
If you don't cry or you're not moved by it, you're not a person, and I don't have anything to say to you. I don't even want to go into detail about it, because if you haven't seen it, you have to watch it. It speaks for itself, and trying to, like, break it down would honestly cheapen it, because it is that special.
He's very in-your-face about, like, having a song that's not heterosexual.
Yeah, for those who don't know, the program music is called Two Men in Love.
Yeah, and I think it's really, I don't really know the story behind this, I would really like to, but when he performed it at Skate Canada, they listed it as Bloodstream by Tokyo Myers, and that's what it's listed on his official ISU bio. But for the past two competitions, he's taken out Two Men in Love, and we've heard he had two short programs, and that he's going to flip them, which is just a whole other story itself. But it's just interesting to see how it says Bloodstream, but he's taking out Two Men in Love. So I'd really like to know the story behind that. And Camden Polkinen, his senior Grand Prix debut! He came in 4th and he skated a nearly clean, or okay, not nearly clean, but like half clean free skate.
Which is insane.
Okay, he's really good with his short program so far. Like, he's been killing his short programs at Autumn Classic and Skate Canada. He finished 4th overall because of some mistakes in his free skate, but that's still really good for your senior Grand Prix debut.
And anyone who's listened to me talk about Camden before knows that I think he is the most gorgeous skater there is, period. He has intrinsic musicality, his arms and upper posture is, like, perfect. His basic skating is great, except he is a little bit, did slow down a little bit in his free skate for his step sequence. Hopefully he'll speed up as the season goes along and he gets in better shape for the season. But major issues aside, like his leg rep and his slow spins, he is just like one of those skaters that just touch you and hold on for dear life. But oh my god, he's skating to Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence, and it's choreographed by Josh Ferris. This is made for me to cry. Please skate it clean so I can lose my mind. Thank you. Good night.
I feel that. Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence is just the music that you're just like, oh, here come the tears.
And last shout out is to Kazuki Tomoto, who is my funky son. I've already spoken in my last episode that I did about how much I love his short program because I just think it's so fun. But yeah, he really sold his free skate to me. I've been kind of over Moulin Rouge, and Kazuki just has this ability to take music that I feel like I'm kind of over or I just flat out don't like, and he just skates the hell out of it and makes me like it. And he definitely did that here with his free skate. His step sequence is so good. I just appreciated every single part of the step sequence and just how smooth everything was, and the way the elements were linked together and the speed and energy through the choreographic sequence. I just think it's a great free skate. I'm so glad because he has a good program.
He's such a great performer, even though the music cuts really aren't that great. They're kind of jarring and like all over the place, but he makes up for it in places. His speed and basic skating had improved tons since last year. He's not as choppy, his crossovers aren't as shallow, and he's a lot quicker than he used to be, which is super impressive considering it's only been like what, 2 seasons where he's been like really like challenging for spots in Japan since 2018 Worlds. So to see him improve this quickly when he already has such natural ability is great.
And he just serves like so much face when he's performing with a program that requires it, like Moulin Rouge does. Like, his expressions are just incredible. He's such a performer. Okay, moving on to the Grand Prix outlook for the men. Disclaimer, all of my predictions that are not Nathan, Yuzuru, or Shoma bank on the men skating clean, which they are most likely not going to do. So, starting off with Skate America, we had Nathan, Jason, and Dimitri Aliyev. Nathan's gonna make the final, like, there's no question. He's, like, 99% chance of winning IDF. His only competition is Shoma. Shoma doesn't have a coach right now. We saw it Finlandia, and he wasn't very clean. And Nathan's just a very consistent skater for the past couple of seasons.
For context, he has not screwed up a free skate since the Olympics. Whatever you think of Nathan skating, hats off to him for that.
Yeah, I mean, Shem is going to be really interesting to watch at International France. Like, he's who I'm most excited and terrified to see, particularly skulls-wise. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with Shomer at International de France because he has been suffering on a little bit on the scorecards, and he's wilding with no coach.
Yeah, and shout out to Kevin Amos, who's also here and could challenge for bronze. Or even silver, depending on how Shomer skates.
Moving on to our silver medalist, Jason Brown. I personally think he could have a decent chance of going to the final, which would be awesome. I would totally support that for him. His next assignment is NHK Trophy. He has some competition that could beat him, such as Soto Yamamoto, Kevin Amos, Sergei Voronov, maybe Tomoki Huatashi. But Jason's not going for the quad this season, which has really upped the likelihood that he'll go clean. And when he goes clean, he's got incredibly solid triples. He has good performance. He has good PCS. So he's not out of the running, even if he doesn't have that quad. So if he can get silver here, as Yuzuru Hanyu is most likely to get gold, he's probably good to go.
It's a Nathan situation when we're just locking it in that Yuzuru's got gold and moving on.
And then Dmitry Aliyev, he was a surprise medalist. I was really happy that he did well here, especially since last season he didn't even make it to the world's team. His next assignment is Rostelecom, whose headliner is Shoma. And possible medal contenders are Mikhail Brezina, Alexander Samarin, and Nam Wen after his performance at Skate Canada. Samarin didn't really have a good season start, but if he goes clean, he'll be on the podium. Dmitry could possibly eke out a bronze, maybe even a silver, depending on how Samarin and Shoma do. And that would give him good chances, like a good chance to be on the bubble for going to the final.
Yeah, and also always an outside chance at gold because none of the skaters there are particularly known for their consistency.
That's very true. So if Dima can go clean and everyone else is not consistent, he definitely has that chance. And moving on to our predictions, or our outlook, not really predictions, for Skate Canada, Yuzuru Hanyu won his first Skate Canada. Who'd have thunk we would be here? Not me.
We're living in an alternate timeline.
So his chances of going to the final are always high because he is who he is. But he doesn't really have much competition for gold at NHK, especially if he performs like he did here.
Even if he's like a quarter close to how he performed at Skate Canada, he's going to be okay.
I mean, he also has his little mental thing of going into NHK, like, especially now he's not performed in Japan. I mean, he did at Worlds, but, like, he's not performed at NHK for such a long time.
I'm not worried about him. I'll put it that way. I don't want to jinx anything. I don't want to speak anything into the universe so that it can crush me, but I'm not worried.
Basically, like, Nathan and Yuzuru are our shoo-ins this season. Moving on to Nam, he was a come-from-behind medalist. Personally, I did not expect him to go clean, but he lived pretty well in both programs, especially in the free skate going directly after Yuzuru, which is just a feat of itself. His next assignment is Rostelecom, which we talked about with Dmitry, but if he performs like he did here, he could very possibly get silver or bronze, or gold, depending on how Shoma does.
I mean, again, nobody here is really consistent, but I would put my money down more bronze than silver. Just because, again, Nam was skating at home and the crowd really went for him. And when stuff like that happens and you're having a moment, your PCS is going to be way higher than it usually is. Not really confident that same thing will happen in Russia, PCS-wise or crowd-wise. Especially when they have two skaters that they want on that podium. The possibilities are a little bit less for silver. But bronze is still possible, given the fact that nobody's really, like, known to go out there and hit everything.
Yeah, so Nam has some decent chances of podiuming. Finally, Keiji Tanaka, love that man. He is assigned to the Chaos Grand Prix, Cup of China, which I nicknamed that because it's got no clear winner, like a Yuzuru or a Nathan or possibly a Shoma. So I think at Cup of China, anyone who's lucky enough to go clean on that day could win. Or like, there's like six different people who could win. And Keiji's one of those people.
I would put him and Mateo as, like, 1A, 1B. Because Mateo, like, he didn't have a great skate at Skate Canada, but we know that it's totally possible for him to have really good skates and go clean, and he has exceptional skating skills and knees and performance ability. And KG has been on a roll to start this season. Like, He's not popping as much, which we talked about. His Skate Canada performance was insane considering the fact that he had been in a car accident and was dealing with the ramifications from that, and his practices there were not good. So to see him go out and skate relatively clean in both programs was insane. So given a little bit of time and just the trajectory of his season so far, I would say, like, he not just an outside chance of getting gold, like, he's probably the contender for gold.
There are other contenders from for the podium. Matea is definitely a contender. Boyang, if he can go clean. Like, he's landed his quad lutz triple toe in practices this season. He just might be having the same issues he had last season.
I do really miss Boyang, and to be honest, Shoma, being two of those skaters that you could kind of guarantee would be at the final. And Boyang's really fallen out of that for, like, two seasons now.
Oh, it's been more than that. He made it the 2015 season, and he hasn't been back since.
And then we have Keegan, who was fourth at Skate America, if he goes clean in both programs. Junhwan Cha has, like, three quads if he can rotate them and land them. But there's basically a lot of contenders at Cup of China, which is why it's chaotic! Cup of China is a cup of disaster.
As always.
Moving on to ice dance!
At Skate America, our gold medalists were Madison Hubble and Zachary Donahue from the United States. In silver, we had Alexander Stepanova and Ivan Bukin from Russia. In third, we had Laurence Florian-Baudre and Nikolai Sorensen from Canada. And at Skate Canada, we had Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier in gold, Madison Hubble and Zachary Donahue in silver, and Lila Fear and Lewis Gibson in third.
Just gonna plug in, we have an interview with Piper out now. Go check it out. It's pretty cute.
She's adorable. She will become your favorite ice dance lady instantly.
Womp womp. Skate America was brought to you by their sponsors, Technical Difficulties and Computer Errors. The GOE calculation errors, and they had to change scores slightly after the error was pointed out by fans, and the fact that they had to wait until it was pointed out to them by fans on Twitter is pretty amazing. There was just a lot of computer issues at Skate America. Really long wait times in the Kiss and Cry.
But Stepanova and Bukin won the free dance in America!
Which is insane. Absolutely insane that a Russian team beat out an American team at Skate America in a program. Because for those who may not follow ice dance as closely, ice dance is the most political of any of the disciplines easily. There's a reason why all of the teams show up to practices at 6 o'clock in the morning in full costume and makeup, because impressions matter. Home ice matters. The judging panel matters. A team can look at the judging panel and see who is there and know how their score is going to be, if it's going to be favorable or not favorable, given how the panel is. This is the level of politics that we're dealing with. That's not to say that, like, technical ability doesn't matter, because it still does. Like, for example, in 2017 at Cup of Russia, the Shibutani still beat Bobrova and Soloviev, despite the fact that Russia was really pushing for them to be able to medal at the Olympics. Like, stuff like that still happens. But never before, like, not since in France, all holy in France, when the Shibutanis beat Papadakis and Cizeron in the short dance at the Grand Prix final, have we seen something like this. It's crazy. Which, really, Hubble and Donahue have nobody but themselves to blame for it, because their free dance is not good. There's significant problems with the music cuts. The element placements do not work with how the music is even structured to begin with. This program should be built for wow factor moments, like easily accessible things that a casual viewer can pick up and glom onto and realize this is the moment where we get hype. But there's nothing like that, because, like, when you get to the climactic part of Shallow, they're skating through it, which, like, yeah, they're a fast team with crazy amounts of power and good edge control. But when you have a program that's like, we need to be, like, selling the crap out of this right here, right now, that kind of music lends itself more to a twizzle sequence or a, like, great acrobatic lift, which they do not do. In fact, they are repeating lifts in this program, which is a huge problem. So this is two seasons now where they've had free dances in particular that are really lackluster, and it kind of seems like they got a little complacent, or maybe they just didn't know what to do after the success of their Olympic season, where they had a great chance of winning bronze and then went on to get silver at Worlds that year. It kind of seems like they thought they were solidly the second place team, and that is not the case, because the Russians are here. They want Stepanova and Bukin, and they want Sinitsina and Katsalapov on that podium, and they are going to do what they have to do to get them there. And it's possible, given the choices that Maddie and Zach have made. They need to change a program, and it's probably going to be the free dance because it's lost twice, despite the fact that the rhythm dance is equally as unbearable. I cannot do the daddy program all year long.
Oh, I hate the rhythm dance. I'm sorry, Maddie.
No, I had a full body cringe.
I think they did it on purpose because they thought it would be funny, but it's not funny. It's just uncomfortable. It does not play well at all. I can't do it, but it's, they got good scores with it, so that's probably the program that stays. It's probably going to be a similar thing where what they did last year, where they just changed the music cut, like they did with the Romeo and Juliet, which, if they're going to do that, I would say scrap the voiceovers, scrap the Bradley Cooper section, and pick something else. Pick something that lends itself to how powerful and fast you are. Like, have yourself skating rink end to rink end instead of the hockey cut stops and, like, the, like, sharper standing in the middle, like, trying to be, like, I don't know. I don't even know what they're trying to do, but, like, it's just not a good program at all.
Yeah. I feel bad about, like, how much I dislike the rhythm dance because, like, Maddie was like, oh, I really wanted to do it, and I'm just like, I'm sorry, I can't stand it.
The smash section is good, though. Like, I enjoy the part with the pattern.
The let's be bad part is really fun.
But the daddy part is done.
It just makes me so uncomfortable.
It's just there's a lot of work they need to do. They're at a real crossroads in their career right now because I think they thought they were going to cruise this quad, go into the Olympics, get their silver medals, and go home. And that's like, there's a real chance that they won't. That won't happen, considering some of the teams that are coming up. And again, Russia has, right now, they have a ton of power in ice dance because their junior teams are really good. They have two top-tier senior teams with Sinetsia and Katsalapov, like, having closer scores to Papadakis and Cicerone than I think people expected at Worlds. So, yeah, they have a lot of work to do if they're going to be on the podium at the end of the season. Piper Gillis and Paul Poirier, on the other hand, did everything they had to do. They have excellent programs, they took advantage of being on home ice, and they skated lights out, and that's why they won, because they skated better and they had a better program and they knew that they had the advantage politically. Both programs are great. The Mac and Mabel is fun and, like, classic Broadway. Both Sides Now by Joni Mitchell is just one of the greatest songs of all time. Like, picking that was, like, an instant, like, okay, we're gonna get into this, and the program is choreographed beautifully and they skate it so well. I can't imagine what it's like in person because it's gorgeous to see. And the thing about ice dance, seeing it in person really lends itself to how beautiful the discipline is because you get a better sense of how fast these teams are moving, how great their edge quality is, and how much they fill out a rink compared to singles and pairs teams. So I can't imagine what that likes. But yeah, but they did everything they had to do. And there's a really good chance that they are now putting themselves in a position to challenge for major medals, which they were not doing before.
And I'm really excited for them for that because they're one of my favorite teams.
Another big surprise was Hawaiik and Baker winning base value in the rhythm dance. They are not a team known for consistently getting their levels, especially since they moved to Gadbois. Last year they had real trouble getting their levels for the tango. They had troubles getting them for the finstep at their challenger, so that was kind of insane to see that they were able to win base value. They were third after the rhythm dance, but their old issues with levels got them for the free, and they fell off the podium for fourth, and obviously Lila and Lewis swept in with, honestly, a better program. I think that was what made the difference, is that the Madonna Vogue program is just a better program than what Caitlin and Jean-Luc are doing, so it's like the little things like that really make a difference.
On the technical side of things, Popova and Mozgov were the only ones at Skate Canada to get all the key points in the rhythm dance, and only Hubble and Donoghue and Fournier Baudry and Sorensen got all the key points at Skate America. So it's a little bit yikes when at the rhythm dance for two of your Grand Prix, only three teams got all of the key points.
Yeah, it is and it isn't. Like, there was a lot of level trouble last year, especially early in the season when you're trying to get your timing right, which is an issue with a lot of teams. But then by Worlds, everybody was getting a level 4. It's early season, could be the caller. You never really know, but, like, I said it last year. I think there was a minute last year where I was literally like, guys, work on your levels. Like, come on, this is ridiculous. But, like, for the first two Grand Prix, you get a little bit of a pass from me. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, most of them only missed maybe one of the key points out of four. I can only remember one team that really jumped out at me as forgetting none of them.
It was the Mamma Mia team.
It was.
AKA the best team.
Yeah, they were team who cares about levels, we're fun.
Which is what team I am, too.
Which I feel.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm team ABBA. Okay, moving on to some of our favorites. Smart and Diaz. They've grown on me.
I unironically love the rhythm dance, which I did not in the beginning of the season. If you follow me on Twitter, you know I had a thread where I talked about, like, this could be a really fun program, but I think there might be a little bit too slow for it. But I've watched it multiple times now, and now I'm, like, full in on it. Because, like, how could you not love the part where they start, they skate around the side of the rink, they shuffle to the music, and then they get back to the center of the rink, and they stop, and they lunge, and they head bop? Like, Olivia is, like, striking and comes alive and immediately draws you into the program. And it doesn't hurt that Grease by Frankie Valli is just a jam. Like, it's so great.
It's such a jam.
Like, I love it so much. Like, that's a great program for them. And it's really important, especially considering that Sarah and Kirill do not have good programs this year. In all honesty, I'm not a huge fan of the Lunar Module Hello Dolly. I'm calling it that because her dress kind of reminds me of the foil you see on the lunar modules, that, like, gold material.
You're right.
I'm not really sure why that was the choice for the dress, but that it's kind of a snooze. And same thing with their free dance, where, like, at least Sad Clown Love Story has plot. Like, it's interesting. There's something to talk about. You're kind of so taken aback by it. Like, even though it's not, like, the best put-together program, there's something there to think about and, like, engage with, which I don't think you can really say for Sarah or Kirill's free dance. It's kind of just a snooze, which is a problem for them because they kind of set themselves up as being the Spanish team last year. But Olivia and Adria got 10 points higher in total score at Skate America than Sarah and Kirill did at Skate Canada, which is an issue. Like, that's an issue.
I agree. I agree with Sam. I'm ready to accept the greased lightning into my life. Also, they included Born to Hand Jive, which is an absolute winner for me. Like, at the end of the program, I'm just like, here, I'm ready to hand jive.
We're here to have fun. Yeah, moving on. Stepanba and Bukin, I love you forever. You don't owe me any money. Because they did the Cry Me a River I deserve and I have been begging for since Bublé first graced our years back in 2017 with Zabiaco on Embert's short program. I have been waiting for somebody to do the correct Cry Me a River, and it is here, and it makes no sense, and the music cuts are weird, but I do not care. It's so much fun!
I just have a distinct memory of during practice. It was the first time they were practicing the free dance, and me and everyone I was sitting with were like, is it going to be the JT version? Like, we were just, like, on the edge of our seats, like, is it going to be a cover? And then I heard the beat of the JT version start, and I actually screamed.
Yeah, and the straight line lift into the rotational lift on that part of the music when they're switching into the Crimea River is just great. The cut into the instrumental part of Crimea River is probably the worst part of the program, but, like, I can forgive it. Their twizzles are their best element. They're tight, controlled, super quick, and they're always close together. Their main issue is that, like, Sasha especially does not use her knees effectively, and it's really noticeable because of how gorgeous and long her legs are. They can be a little bit sloppy coming in and out of elements. Like, she doesn't always have her legs extended perfectly, and things can get a little clunky, so they can smooth stuff like that out. They have a more interesting program than Sinitsia and Katsalapov. They work on stuff like that, and I think they should be ahead of them. I personally would like to see them ahead of them now, even though I can recognize that Sinitsia and Katsalapov are smoother, more aesthetic skaters. I just prefer Stepanba and Bukin's programs.
I also yelled when I saw the Sit the Duck twizzles for the first time.
A quick shout out to Hawaii and Baker for their rhythm dance. Again, it's a weird cut. The How Deep Is Your Love part is a little bit of a drag, but the transition into Night Fever out of the pattern, the finstep, is just great. And I love when they do programs like this. This is the kind of program they're built for.
The How Deep Is Your Love part just makes me think of, like, my rink where I get my lessons, because my head coach just really loves Take That, apparently. And all I can hear for my whole session is the cover by Take That of How Deep Is Your Love. My shout out for the ice dance is going to be for Popova and Mozgov. They came out and I didn't know what they were skating to because apparently I just don't pay attention. And I saw the outfits, and Mozgov has got his, like, I had those kind of neck gloves when I was, like, 12 and I was being a scene kid. And so I was thinking, what is this? And then it was Cabaret, and I was like, of course it is. And just enjoyed the whole thing so much. Thank you so much for doing Cabaret.
They're just such an enjoyable team.
Yeah, they're always interesting. They're the messiest of messy faves, but we love them.
I'm going to put bets on, and I'm going to ask for it. I'm going to put it out in the universe. They're going to be the ice dance team that does Welcome to the Black Parade, and it's going to make my life complete.
I would cry.
Okay, moving on to the Grand Prix final outlook in ice dance. We have our first confirmed team or skater for the final, which is Hubble and Donahue. They got second here, which, with their first at Skate America, they got a ticket to the final. We're going to see them there. And they won last year, so not surprising. Stepanova and Buchan made a good case for the final. Their next assignment is NHK Trophy. Their only competition for a podium spot is Papadakis and Cicerone, who are going to win. So they'll probably get second. They'll have two silvers. Most likely, we'll get them to the final. If they can score similarly to Skate America, they should be pretty confident about going. Fournier, Beaudry, and Sorensen. They did really well at Skate America, but I wouldn't put their chances of making the final high. At Cup of China, they'll be facing Sinitsina and Katsalapov and Chalk and Bates in a couple of weeks. And while they have a good chance at bronze, that would, like, those two bronzes probably wouldn't give them a good chance at going to the final. Piper and Paul, their chances of going to the final are now through the roof, especially since their only competition for the top spot at Rus Telecom is Sinitsina and Katsalapov, who I think have a good chance, who will probably win considering it's in Russia. But even getting a silver there would pretty much guarantee them a spot at the final. So I am so happy. Piper said in our interview, spoiler alert, Piper said in our interview that their, like, big goal is to get to the Grand Prix final. So I just really want that for them.
Especially after the hardship they've had at their first Grand Prix the last couple of seasons.
And then finally, our final medalists, Fear and Gibson. I think they could very well take bronze at NHK if they have good scores and they get their levels. It wouldn't get them a spot at the final, but I'm still super proud of them for getting their first Grand Prix medal at Skate Canada. And I'm just really excited for their rise because they're a team that I really enjoy.
I mean, whatever happens, even if they don't get at the Grand Prix final, it's still the best result that a British skater or team has had in years. So, as a Brit, thank you, Sarah Gibson.
So finally, our final discipline at our first two Grand Prix is ladies. At Skate America, our podium went with Anna Shcherbakova in gold from Russia, Brady Tennell from the USA in silver, and Elizaveta Tuktumysheva, also from Russia, in bronze. And then at Skate Canada, we had Alexandra Trusova from Russia in gold, Rika Kihira from Japan in bronze, and then Young Yu from Korea in bronze.
There's been a bit of a trend to start the season with ladies so far, where the Ateria girls, Anna Shcherbakova and Sasha Trusova, are not winning the short program and are going into the free skate with pretty significant point gaps to make up with their free programs, which is obviously possible given their quads. I think some people kind of expected that maybe, like, the junior success would just transfer over and they would naturally be beating people out, like, straight out of the gate. But the short program is actually showing to be actually pretty vulnerable. Anna had mistakes in her short program, obviously, at Skate America, but Brady had the potential to win. I mean, she had to get her personal best to do it, but it was possible for her to do it given the political circumstances and the way she was skating. Like, hats off to Brady, because she came out of the gate despite the fact that she had had an injury over the summer and had to pull out of her challenger and was on top of everything. She had great skates considering those circumstances, so getting that silver medal was awesome for her. And then at Skate Canada, if Rika had her full arsenal with both of her triple axels and obviously the triple axel triple toe combo and having her Lutz back on her program, it wasn't impossible for her to get gold either. Like, the possibility was there. Like, she'd obviously need a world record to do it, a world record total score to do it, but she could have. Like, that was totally within realm of possibility. That said, it is if they continue to skate like this, the likelihood that their PCS will get a bit higher is definitely there. And considering the fact that Congress is next year and they are most likely to lift the ban on quads in the short program for ladies, this will obviously change the game for everybody, because if they can do their quads in the short program, it's not going to matter what anybody else does. at all, because they're getting they're getting high GOE from them for them right now, because people are not used to seeing them and it's such a novelty that they're just excited about it. So they want to give them high GOE for it because it's incredible that they're doing it. All of that said, we need to talk about Trusova's skating skills, because the more she does the quads, the more I get desensitized to them, where I'm not getting as excited or I am not as nervous for her and looking for them and being amazed that she's doing them, that I'm starting to pay more attention to the in-betweens of her skating, and it's really starting to bother me, because she is not a traditional figure skater in that the way she generates speed is not coming from her knees and her edges. It is coming from her entire body. She's using her arms, she's using her hips, she's using her knees, she's literally everything to generate as much speed as she possibly can to be able to do the jumps. And she is quick. Like, she's not a slow skater. She can make it across the ice. But her skating is not aesthetically pleasing. It is not done technically the correct way. And that makes it difficult to judge her skating skills, because you have a skater who is doing transitions, who is doing quads, who is fast, but is not skating smoothly.
We have a lot of favorites from the ladies event from Skate America and Skate Canada, because ladies are awesome. So, starting off with Wakaba Higuchi, my love.
The thing about Wakaba that I love is that she just knows who she is. Like, she's not trying to make herself into anything else just so she can fit the, like, classic definition of what a lady skater should be. She chooses music that lends itself to her and how excellent her upper body tension is, and, like, how... and, like, plays off of the fact that she is a raw performer and she can convey emotion, like, especially, like, super powerful emotions, like, really well, and that works perfectly with how powerful she is as a skater. And this, specifically, at Skate America, her short program, was a huge step for her coming back, because last season was really rough. She had tons of injuries. She never really had a chance to get her feet underneath her. So to have, like, a clean program here to start the season, like the major parts of the season, because she obviously did have a challenger, is huge.
Wakaba's short program was one of the highlights of skate, of like the entire event of Skate America for me. Everyone just like knew that that was what she needed for her confidence, and that was what she deserved to have, is that like at least that clean short program. Yeah, the free didn't go as great as she might have hoped, but hopefully the short program gave her like that boost that she needed to start working towards a clean short and free at the same time. And honestly, it's like Sam said, it's just such a raw and like emotional program. Like, I think I was crying within the first 10 seconds, just because I was like, I knew the music going in, and I knew how she was going to perform it, and that it was going to be like so close to her that it was just like off the bat I was just emotional. And then moving on to our other Japanese lady who didn't do as well as she had hoped at Skate America, Kaori Sakamoto, my other love.
Yeah, I mean, mad respect for her just for trying to slice the judge's necks with her spiral. I love Kaori. I think her and Wakaba just really do it for me, because they both have this kind of sense of freedom with their skating. And Kaori just, I don't know, watching her just makes me really happy.
Well, when she does well, her smile is the best thing in skating. But she has a you're right, she has a similar thing with Wakaba, where she's finally picking programs that play to her strengths, and don't force her to be a traditional skater, because she doesn't have the upper body tension to do it. Her arms can swing a little bit, and she can get a bit loose up in her chest, but her Matrix program is, like, perfect for her. And the like you said, the choreo sequence where she's lunging, and then she goes into the fan spiral right along the boards in front of the judges is great. But, like, I think she was a little bit close there because they were on a hockey rink at Skate America, so it's a little bit smaller. So she just needed a little bit more space.
Yeah. She didn't intend to nearly get them in the face.
And then, like we said earlier, shout out to Brady's short program. It's a huge improvement for her on performance. And she, like I said, at Skate America, she was just on top of it. Her jumps had great pop. Didn't have the rotational speed that they did the Olympic season. But, like, her free leg was noticeably swingy, which is a good indication that you're not rotating as quickly as you should be to be able to land the jump in time. So when you're looking for is, like, when she lands her Lutz, especially, her leg is sweeping out instead of straight back as she's landing. Like, her free leg should already be open and ready to come out as she's landing, but she's landing and swinging it really far to be able to keep her momentum, which is probably, again, the rotational issue is probably, again, why she was under-rotating at Skate Canada.
Brady has a similar problem for me as Nathan, I think, in that I find it difficult to connect with her because she has kind of had a struggle, in my opinion, with projecting a sense of character and personality. And I do think that's maybe one of the reasons why she does tend to get overlooked. But I think this season she's kind of really isolating that issue and addressing it with that short program, which is just so charming. I'm looking forward to see how that comes along through the season.
Another quick shout out to Marin Honda, who had really big struggles going into Skate Canada. For those who don't know, a couple weeks beforehand, she got a concussion after a fall and a jump. And then while she was at Skate Canada and on her way to the rink, her and KG were rear-ended in their taxi, and she had to go to the hospital and ended up with a leg injury, which we're still not really sure what the issue was there, but she had a big wrap on her leg, on her calf specifically, and was showing concussion-like symptoms. She talked about how lights and sounds were super sensitive for her, and in the middle of her practice, the morning of the free skate, she did collapse right after her step sequence and looked like she had a pretty severe case of vertigo and needed a lot of time to, like, calm herself down and get back into the program. So to see her skate clean after all of that and just be effervescent and come alive and the charming, soft skater she is to La La Land, which, while it's not my favorite music, is perfect for her, was incredible.
I mean, it's absolutely heartbreaking to see her face fall in disappointment in the kiss and cry over and over and over again, which has just been a constant thing since she came up to seniors. But yeah, she really needed that free skate. I feel really uncomfortable with her being allowed to skate under those conditions, with her health being a bit on the dicey side and with the complaints that she was having about lights and sounds and having collapsed in a run through.
The thing with the concussions is you cannot take the word of one doctor, especially immediately after the incident, because symptoms can show up later. So even though she was cleared when she got to the hospital after the car accident, that doesn't mean she didn't have a concussion. And there should be protocol in place that you have to get checked out multiple times.
But she did collapse at the rink, and she started showing signs of that at the rink. And I think in that situation, the referee needed to kind of say, or like someone in the ISU needed to say, you know, for your health, we can't allow you to continue.
I totally agree, but it's still a really dicey situation considering that we're not even really sure that they had all the facts. That they were, that the judges there, the event organizers, the on-site medical staff were aware that that was going on. We know because we were lucky enough to have somebody translate news reports about it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody else there was also on Twitter seeing these things. But I totally agree with you that somebody should have stepped up and been like, this is not worth it at all.
Moving on to our 11th ever lady to land the triple axel, Young Yu. She got a Grand Prix medal on her senior Grand Prix debut, which is awesome for her.
The triple axel is great. It's still a little bit telegraphed, but I prefer a pattern that goes along the boards instead of to the center of the rink. So it's just, like, aesthetically a little bit more pleasing to me. Plus, she has great height and distance, and her speed out of it is incredible. And Romeo and Juliet is the music to pick for a breakout senior season, so, like, the drama really lends itself for teaching you how to project. So she made good choices there.
I think Romeo and Juliet is, like, the unofficial soundtrack of the wild youngins.
She medaled at her first ever senior Grand Prix. And at that point, she didn't have a second assignment. She just got assigned a Cup of China, which I'm really excited for. Her free skate, I really like her free skate to the Evita soundtrack. She's got a gorgeous Ina Bauer, and it has some boppin' moments, and just Madonna is awesome. She didn't get the triple axel in the free, but her other elements were clean enough to get her that bronze, and I'm just really proud of her. And then my final shout-out goes to Yevgenia Medvedeva, who I don't know if I'm known for loving her, but I love her a lot. She doesn't have the greatest programs this season, and her PCS scoring is quite wonky, but like this happened a couple times last season during Skate Canada and Russian Nationals where she really didn't have the short program that she expected to have, and she just comes back with such a fire. Like, some people describe it as like she gets on her murder face, and like she didn't really have that this competition because she was just more focused and not like oh, I'm gonna murder the judges.
I don't know, in the kiss and cry, she certainly had a murder face on.
Oh, for after the short program? Yeah, she was, like, halfway between I am going to destroy everyone here and, like, halfway between I am ready to just break down and sob, and it was heartbreaking.
I know. The fact that Brian looked like he was about to cry.
It was just upsetting overall, which is what makes the free program so nice, even if it's not the nicest program to watch. The fact that she was able to come out and skate clean deserves a shout-out.
Yeah. Like, she just, like, she's really good at making a comeback and getting the redemption when she disappoints herself. And I'm just like, that just makes me really happy. So, like, you know, like, she's not scored the best in the best, like, in the fairest way. And she doesn't have the best programs this season. But, like, she's just, like, very determined. And I really appreciate her mentality. Basically, like, my one concern whenever she doesn't do well in a program is I'm afraid that she's going to think that moving to Toronto was the wrong move. Which I really think it was a good move for her. So, like, I just, like, want her to be reassured that she did the right thing, you know?
I think she sees the bigger picture. From things that she said, I don't think she regrets it.
Especially considering the alternative was trying to find a new coach in Russia or retire. Like, the fact that she's still skating and she's proud of the fact that she's still skating is the telling part.
Okay, moving on to our final Grand Prix final outlook. Sherbakova and Trusova both made super good cases for the final. I'm pretty sure that they're gonna make it. My personal prediction on the final will be 3 or 4 Terry girls, Anna and Sasha definitely, Aliona and Alina are pretty good chances. I think Rika's gonna make it, and then probably another Japanese lady. Yeah, if Anna and Sasha can skate like they did at SCAM and Skate Canada with their quads, they'll make the final.
Yeah, the other Japanese lady is most likely Satoko Miyahara at this point, considering that Kaori and Wakaba did not medal at Skate America.
Brady had a 2nd and 4th place finish. Like, worst comes to worst, like, she could make it, she's definitely on that list of, like, sub-ins, but, I mean, she did pretty well at the, especially since having Skate Canada and right after Skate America, she did pretty well. Liza is up against Anna again at Cup of China, as well as Satoko Miyahara. If she can skate clean at Cup of China, depending on how Satoko does, she could get silver, which maybe Grand Prix Final could find room for her, but I think Satoko has a good chance at making the final. And then Rika is, I think, likely to go to the final again. Rika's been pretty consistent so far this season. Her only mistake at Skate Canada was a step out on her opening triple axel. Getting a gold would pretty much guarantee her a ticket to the final. So there you have it, your Grand Prix final outlook for the first 2 Grand Prix. We are looking forward to the chaos that is the next few. It's just like, oh my god, the Grand Prix is such chaos. Like, I've finally, like, gotten into, like, scoring and placements and understanding that. So now I'm just like, why? Like, now I'm just watching the results, like, why? Why did I get into this?
Yep. I used to do a little tracking sheet, and now I'm like, I can't be bothered. I'm too tired. I'm preemptively tired, because I'm about to go to International de France.
And that'll be fun to watch. Love French event planning. So, moving on to the shout-out of the week, we got some coaches very gently, very kindly roasting their students.
Oh my god, I laughed so much at Stefan Lambiel to Kashiro being like, I don't know how you both got both your triples with no height, but well done. That was really funny.
And then Tracy Wilson, after Jason Brown in his free skate, he popped his triple loop into a double and she was like, not bad, but what happened to the loop?
We love savage coaches around here.
Tracy also made me laugh when Yuzuru was giggling about his step sequence that he messed up in the short program, and she's on the commentary just like, we're gonna have words later.
Oh, that reminds me, when you listen to the Kiss and Cry for his short program, right after they're talking about his flub cluster, they start laughing about it. All of a sudden they look up and they look at Tracy and they're like, oh, she heard you. It's really funny. They're like, oh, she heard.
She's like, oh my god. Yeah. I would say Tracy Wilson for best coach, which is a good lead up to a subtle, just a slight shout out to the upcoming ISU awards.
This section is called shoutouts, but maybe the shoutout to be them spending their money usefully and rebuilding their bio and result system instead of wasting it on an award show that nobody asked for and might strip us of the chance to see Yuzuru Hanyu do a old school program at Worlds. Because I would rather watch Yuzuru do one of his old fun short programs like Let's Go Crazy than watch them hand out an award that's been fan voted on.
I want to know who these people are that apparently told the ISU that galas are boring. Who told you that?
Yeah, like, galas are the best part.
That supposedly they've been talking about doing this for a little bit, a couple years now, that this is not something that just came out of the blue, and it's been a just heavily discussed thing in the background that nobody knew about. But, hey, I mean, swimming has an award show. They have something called the Golden Goggles. How bad could it be?
I mean, I'm kind of cool with it, but do it after Worlds. Have the Worlds Gala, and then after Worlds, do it then.
There's a part that somebody... Either somebody translated something or they were just laying out all the information in a thread, but they're planning on cutting off part of the ice surface for priority seating. No, don't do that.
I don't get how that's gonna work.
Maybe it'll be good. Maybe they'll get real celebrities to come out or some great musical guest or something and it'll be fun and we'll all enjoy it and laugh about it later. But as of right now, I would rather just see my gala, please and thank you.
So that's it for our shout-out. We have the good shout-out and the bad shout-out. But thank you guys for listening to our first Grand Prix coverage episode. We hope to see you again for the next episode, which will be on the next two Grand Prix. We want to thank the research team for this episode and our transcribing and quality control teams. Definitely Evie for editing. She's the G. And Gab for graphic design. Also the G.
If you want to get in touch with us, then please feel free to contact us via our website, inthelowpodcast.com, or on Twitter or our Instagram. You can find our episodes on YouTube, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and Spotify.
If you enjoy the show and want to help support the team, then please, please consider making a donation to us on our coffee page, and we'd like to give a huge thank you to all the listeners who have contributed so far.
You can find the links to all of our social media pages and our coffee on our website, which was previously mentioned. If you're listening on iTunes, please consider leaving a rating and a review if you enjoyed the show. Thank you for listening. This has been Carly,
Gina,
and Sam. Bye, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Catch you for chaos.